I knew you
Sing
were
out.
In trouble when you walked in.
Are you talking about Brad? Brad's trouble?
Totally.
Oh, you're doing the screaming ghost.
Howdy ho, guys. Welcome back to Pods and Rec. This is episode 8. I am...
That woman really knows her way.
Blooper.
You might think I was embarrassed by that comment, but I would say, yeah, I do.
This is what the intention was.
Tammy.
All right, and that's the end of the Tammy soundboard, I don't think I can come back from that.
So, once again, I'm Tammy.
I'm Stephanie.
I'm Brad.
You got all three of us back this time.
All the awkward air is finally out.
Yes.
So, how was your weekend?
My weekend.
Did she really know ways around that penis? Or...
Oh, God.
Okay. How was your weekend?
It was great. I saw Brad a lot this weekend.
Hello.
Gasp. I think my hubs might have seen him more than me. But, you know, equal amounts of Brad time is pretty
good.
Equal
opportunity employer. I mean, I go back and forth.
Brad and I went to a really great bar that's downtown here in Jacksonville called Hourglass. If you haven't been, I'd suggest it. They have live music. They have arcade games. Great beers on tap. They do a lot of craft. They have my favorite. Well, they didn't have it this time. Shoo you, Hourglass. It's called Schafferhofer or Schoferhofer. It's a great fruit beer that I've only ever found at Epcot.
That's good. That's what I got in Germany. They have it at Kickbacks.
I got that last time, and I was like,
grapefruit sounds good. And the woman was just like, a lot of people like this.
Yeah. For you women out there, it's low calorie and low alcohol content.
For you women and men.
True.
For everybody.
Yeah.
For the woman on the go. Oh, God.
It wasn't just Brad and I hanging out, though. There were other people there.
There were other people.
Not to...
Good company.
Yeah. Make it weird.
Yeah, for the record, the only reason I wasn't there is because I had to work in the morning.
And it's really
difficult to drag Brad away from any type of party or nightlife. He's always wants to be the last one to leave.
Yeah.
So I generally make the decision if I have to work in the morning, I'm like, nope, I'm out.
Closing time.
She's generally got to start singing that song.
Yeah.
And by like the fifth chorus, Brad is like, all right, I agree. Your vocals sound amazing.
Well, speaking of songs, so I think that was my favorite part of the night was listening to the band that was playing.
Yeah. I didn't even catch their name.
Me neither, but they covered a lot of 90s songs, which if anybody knows me, I love 90s music, like all of it, anything from Matchbox 20 to...
He's a regular.
That's the one you start with?
He's a regular Andy Dwyer.
Hey, that's the heart of the 90s. So, Dave Matthews, all of it.
Little baby.
I am Andy Dwyer, I'm pretty much.
Yeah.
It was a good band. It was kind of awkward, though, at one point. I don't know if you were there, Brad, but I know Tyler and Drew were off playing games, and... apparently it was like an open mic night too, so the band did a few songs together and then they invited anyone up who wanted to come and maybe like sing their own song. So this guy gets up and he's like, oh yeah, I'll use that guitar. This is an original. He's like, you guys can play in this key? All right. It goes like this. And then he starts playing it, stops in the middle of the song to turn around to the drummer and tell him like, nah, man, you're going too fast. You need to slow it down.
Oh, so awkward.
It was very awkward. And it's for an audience of 8 people, maybe, but he was treating it like it was his rock show.
Yeah, the second somebody starts playing their own music, I'm just like, I'm done with this.
Done. No. We went from Third Eye Blind to this.
Can we get Hootie back on the stage, please?
I didn't even met.
Hootie to the stage, please. Yeah. Hootie to the stage.
Mm-hmm. We got a renegade over here pulling out his own songs. I don't know how to sing them, so I'm instantly just, my face, I shut off. I don't even want to pay attention to him.
Instant lose. How was your weekend?
My weekend was pretty boring because I had to work and it was very slow at work. So I'm just sitting there amusing myself, and so Brad actually made fun of me because he's like, "What did you do today?" And I was like, "I looked up information about composting." And he's like, "Wow, you live an exciting life." Those are things that interest me.
Yeah.
Which apparently we're going to start doing.
Yeah,
so,
we are. I ordered
and you
some
should
stuff
too, because it's good for the environment.
Yeah, don't throw trash in a pit. Are you crazy? It's crazy.
That's crazy. What is composting?
So composting is basically taking recycling matter that you can, you know, create like soil out of. Like eventually, everything will kind of die back together and make natural soil, and it's really good for your garden and your yard in general. So I was really looking up information about the type of stuff that you can put into it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's supposed to be equal parts green and equal parts, do they just call it brown? I don't remember. I think
I'm
so.
Really
it's something
sure.
like that. So all the green items would be stuff like the trimmings and stuff from your vegetables and skins and stuff. And then there's like a list of things that you wouldn't really think of. So like the brown one would be like dead leaves and sticks and things like that. But there's a lot of things that you wouldn't really think of that are compostable, which would be like lit matches. I didn't know. Used matches. You can do that. You can do used tissues, tea bags,
my dad
uses coffee and filters.
Coffee filters is a big thing that he does. And I guess he kind of did a lot of research on that himself.
Yeah.
Just because he gets these kind of harebrained ideas.
Yeah. I mean, it just makes sense because of, I really like to do things for the environment and like to really think of the bigger picture. And it's one of those things that I try to find more stuff that I can recycle. And if you're just throwing away all this, you know, scraps from, you know, vegetables, which we eat a lot of vegetables, you know, it's just a waste.
Yeah.
So this is another way to make, you know, use and eliminate some of your trash and your carbon footprint. So that is your environmental PSA for the day. But that's what I did. And then later that night, Saturday night, we ended up playing some board games with some people, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We had a pretty good group, except one of our really favorite games that we play, it has so many different scenarios and outcomes that can happen, and we were, like, totally, we've been selling this group of people, like, you're gonna love this game, and it's called Betrayal at House on the Hill, and there's, like, 50 different scenarios that can happen. The board game is, like, the game board itself is different every time. And whenever we got to our scenario, it was one of the most complex ones we've ever done. So we're just this rule is kind of vague, so should we do this?
Yeah, and it doesn't help that we haven't played the game for a little while, just because it definitely takes the right group of people. You know, they've got to be able to focus and, you know, kind of get some of these rules that, like I said, they change every single time.
Yeah, but they're so cool. They're like, the scenarios are so cool.
It's really
cool.
Fun.
They're really creative. I really recommend playing it, but play with somebody that's played before. You would totally dig it.
Yeah.
We should definitely play one time because
it's
really cool. The whole idea of the game is that you are exploring a haunted mansion. So you lift over, you flip over tiles that will change like each room, and then each room you have to do something in it. And then eventually somebody becomes the betrayer or somebody that's possessed. And it becomes like
the drama.
Yeah. It becomes like everybody versus that person. So they had like
iced tea.
Well, I felt really bad. Our friend Andy, who hopefully will be one of our future guests on the podcast.
Yes.
Because he definitely expressed interest. So holler out to you, Andy.
Hey, Andy.
He ended up being the betrayer. And so he's just like, that person has to go out like into a different room and read their survival guide, and then everybody else strategizes with their survival guide. And poor Andy's just like, he didn't know where to go, so he goes into the bathroom and he's like, "You guys done yet?" And we're just like, "Sorry, Andy."
To be fair, though, I thought he did a very good job.
He did.
At like this being his first time, you know, playing the game.
I totally know how that feels, because the first time I played with a group of people, I was the one that was in that position, and I just went in a room and I was like, I'm not going to remember any of this shit. And I just like sat there and flipped through.
The scenario was that, I guess, you eventually become a betrayer where you get possessed by something. And depending on who you are, what you get possessed by, where you are, like certain facts or factors
So
determines the scenario that you're in.
So he wasn't even the person that summoned the evil. He was just so happened to
he
be.
Was to the left
it was of one him. Of those. Like generally, it's the person that's like if they roll like a certain number because it's based on like dice, and then they're like, okay, the haunt starts, and generally it ends up being that person that started the haunt. But this one was like, who's the oldest? Because the characters all have, like, ages and interests and things like that. And I was mm-hmm. like, who's the oldest? And Andy's like, my guy is, like, 61. And we're like, well, you're it.
His character was literally, like, a little old professor.
Yeah. Man.
Did Which he we... survive?
No.
Andy almost didn't. Won. But it ended up being Andy versus his girlfriend.
Oh, awkward.
Me and Andy's girlfriend versus Andy.
It was kind of my fault, which I apologize. Again, Andy, I gave him bad advice because I didn't know that she had a certain power card. And all this probably just sounds completely batshit crazy to you.
He
but
is not going to want to be on this podcast after he betrayed him.
Well, that's Andy, the real betrayal.
So the scenario is that Andy became the zombie lord, which he controlled zombies. Plus, if he killed somebody, then you became a zombie.
Yeah. That was the cool part about that one.
Yeah, that was...
I died, so I was like, give me the traitor book. And so I started reading and I was like,
oh,
fuck yeah, man.
But, alas, good prevailed, and the heroes won.
The heroes won. Well, one hero won, everybody else died. Aww. No, you lived.
I also lived. Yeah, me and Becky defeated Andy.
Yeah.
And the last people on Earth.
Rob became...
But we saw horrors. We saw many horrors, and our friends die.
Yeah. Horrors?
I mean, we don't know what
this
dead
was
zombies
a,
came
a haunted whorehouse.
A haunted whorehouse.
Ooh.
Maybe that'll be the scenario next time.
In the undead lamp dances.
Next time on Betrayal.
Ooh.
The funny thing that happened is that it was just me and Rob that died. And Rob was like, I was a hero for longer, so sorry you guys, I'm not going to be on your side. Yeah. So he like went and read the book, the traitor book, but I was like, it's exciting.
Rob also didn't really have a chance to do anything, so...
I didn't have a chance. I was stuck in the basement.
Oh.
Which, this will all make sense if you actually play the game. But, yeah, definitely play this game if you get a chance. If you've got a good attention span and you like horror, like Arkham-style things.
I like
that. So, recap of everything we learned.
Yep.
You should support local bands that play the 90s only. Don't screw those other guys.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You should be environmentally friendly and compost your trash.
Yes.
And play a board game called Betrayal. Right?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good.
And haunt your friends.
That's the synopsis of our week.
Yeah. Oh, and sidebar, Wayne wouldn't play it because he thought it was too evil and was going to summon some type of hell.
Really?
Yeah, we tried playing it like months ago and he's like, nope, I'm out.
Well, and to be fair, our friend Wayne he's fairly religious, but he didn't like the aspect of things like possessing you.
Yeah.
And we've also talked about getting a Ouija board before.
Just like messing
with I would be so down for that. I'm down for like ghosts and spirits, not for like possessing demons, like demons who possess you, but ghosts are friendly. They're Casper.
Yeah. We just wanted to mess with him and just have a Ouija board and be like, oh, come over and let's play some games.
How did this get on the table?
Be like, we're going to try out a new one this week and just pull it out and be like, you ready? And he's going to be, there'll be like a hole shaped, like,
I want to get a remote controlled Ouija board that I can just like have my little controller in my pocket so you set it up and then it starts moving on its own.
We'll just put like magnets on it and I'll be like under the table just like
I'm sure you could find like a Ouija app for your phone too and like secretly steal Wayne's phone and download it. Ooh. And he'll be like, how did this get on here? The spirits. Sorry, Wayne. We're not making fun of you, I swear.
We love you.
We love you.
The ghost of Steve Jobs downloaded this app onto my phone.
You could be on this podcast, this Wayne. Come on.
And then he's going to go back to being an Android guy.
Nope.
Not doing it.
Steve Jobs screwed me.
All right, you ready to talk about what we watched today? Or?
Yes, absolutely.
Get into some Parks and Recreation. So, we watched season 2, episode 9, which was titled The Camel. It originally aired November 12th, 2009, and the synopsis for the episode is after one of the murals at City Hall is defaced, Leslie and the Parks Department compete to come up with a new design. Meanwhile, Andy and Ron share an uncomfortable moment at Chunchai's den. Which, side note, I'm not going to just jump into this yet, but that was definitely my favorite part of the episode was Andy and Ron's little side bar.
Yeah, yeah. So that was basically, unlike some of the last episodes that we watched, there was only two things going on, like the two different plots. The last one that we watched, it was just like, oh my god, so many different stories going on.
Right.
So that was kind of... kind of a cool thing. But my first thing, talking about the mural itself, the reason why they're redesigning the mural is because they were talking about the amount of people that vandalize it. Mm-hmm. And they say, what was it this time? It was pudding. Do you really think it was pudding? Because
that's a good question. Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Well, and plus they also mentioned, like, in the past, people have thrown blood on it right. and just defaced it. So mm-hmm. pudding just doesn't Jesus. Really, yeah, pudding doesn't seem to be up the snuff on.
Because, I mean, I assume it's chocolate pudding, and maybe they just thought it was pudding and not. Yeah.
Do you think they had Jerry clean it up?
No. Aww, I feel Jerry. So bad for Jerry.
God, I felt awful for him. Yeah. So they're, you know, this mural is defaced, and I wrote down that the murals were created in 1930, so that's not really that long ago in the past, and people are still, the ones creating the mural still want to showcase this offensive history, which I thought mm-hmm. was kind of interesting.
They're supposed to come up with a concept for a new mural to replace this,
yeah.
this previous mural. But, so, I was kind of wondering, in past episodes, they've talked about how they had a mural that was extremely offensive, and it dealt with, like, killing Indians, the mm-hmm. Wamapoke Indians, I believe.
It's poor Wamapoke.
Was this the same mural that they were talking about?
I think it's a different one every time. Yeah. I'm pretty certain it is. We need to go back or start taking a tally of all the different murals.
At least the
names for them, because they're all something pretty interesting or pretty racist or something shocking. It's just crazy.
And the mural definitely had, like, a covered wagon. It was the same era.
It was a train.
Yeah, it was a train. Yeah.
Was it a train?
The mural's name is the Spirit of Pawnee. Oh. And that it had a train, like a giant red train. There were Indians on the tracks, I believe.
Yeah, it looked like they were going to behead them, like, as the trains went by.
Yeah, and then Asians in the field. Not trying to be racist at all. Uh-huh. This is just what I'm gathering.
It was pretty racist.
Yeah. Like, very kind of, like, stereotypical 1800-looking mm-hmm. Gold Rush Asians, kind of. And they're, like, pointing at the train, and they're laughing. So I didn't really get what that was about. Like, the Asians are better than
the
Native Americans.
The situation.
Yeah, they're laughing at the situation. It's just all pretty terrible. I mean, Bonnie, you've got an offensive
Thursdays
history.
Thursdays for the Asians in the 1800s.
It was weird. There was a lot of art history talk in this one, for obvious reasons, because they're all talking about presenting their ideas. And that entire scene of them critiquing each other's work was just my art school nightmares.
Really?
Of just, like, actually sitting in a critique and going on, you know, what people say to each other. Like, somebody will present something that they're really excited about, mm-hmm. but they don't know how to describe it. They're just proud that they went through this thing. And you have that person, like, the Tom of, like, it's garbage, and you're just sitting there going through. So it just, like, that whole scene was incredibly accurate.
Did that ever really happen? Like, not to you personally, maybe, but to other people, would that happen?
Oh, yeah. There would be people that would totally call people out. I mean, because if you think about it, just like regular, because for the audience, for somebody that might not know, I went to an art middle school, high school, and college. And the college I went to was Maryland Institute College of Art. And just like a regular school, because they're not regular, I guess, art school. Just like
I went to them too, so I'm not offended by that in any means. It's very different than a regular school.
Well, just like any other school, you have to, in order to fulfill your degree, you have to take all different types of art classes that you wouldn't necessarily, that's not part of your degree. It's mm-hmm. just an additional skill that you have to do. So, for example, I was a sculpture major. And I had to take drawing and painting classes, and I can draw well, I can't paint, I can paint okay, but not confidently paint well. And you have to do all different types of drawing. I'm not the best figure drawer, but you have to take like 2 years of figure drawing.
Right.
And you would put, you know, you're completely taken out of your comfort zone doing these assignments and trying to learn something new, and you, almost every single week, I would have to go at least through 3 to 4 critiques. Where you put what you've done either for, you know, homework or your in-school assignments, and you show it in front of everybody, and you have to talk about it.
Yeah.
And how many times can you talk about, like, there was a naked person in front of me and I drew it and this is what I did?
This is what I did.
Here is the penis.
But everybody expects you to talk about, like, how you feel about it and what provoked you and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And sometimes I would just pull something out of my ass and be like, and as you're talking about it and as people describe it to you, you start to be like, well, actually, yeah, this is what it's about. And then afterwards, they're just like, fuck, man, that was awesome. But there will be the ones that, like, that they're way out of their comfort zone. They did the best they could. It looks like ands. And there's the, like, somebody that is, like, a major and they just, you know, start to be like, this is garbage, you know, what are you doing? And there are people that are pretty harsh like that.
I'm always surprised at that, you know. I would feel like any artist, whether it's, you know, drawing or it's music or ballet, like, they would know the kind of, I guess, courage that it takes to actually, like, perform your art in front of other people. And they wouldn't be like that, but
It's pretty funny, just like my comfort level that I have, because I have a lot of anxiety, and especially when I would have to present like a paper or present like a topic that you should research and know very well, I would shake and almost throw up every time. But if I had to present, like, go through a critique, even if it's something I wasn't necessarily proud of, I could stand up there and talk about it and take whatever they gave me. But I don't think I could get on a stage and be like, this is my thing, and, like, perform and then, like, walk away.
So you can do it in front of a smaller group of people versus a large.
I don't know what I'd be like, but it's just funny. I guess maybe I've gone through it so much that it just is normal.
Yeah. Well, and that's strange, too, because you would think, like, you know, going back to, I guess, more conventional, like, school topics, like English and math, like, I mean, people aren't going to sit there and say, oh, you're stupid for not knowing this, but they kind of do in the art world. It's very, very heavily critiqued, but that surprises me almost, that they're not, like, more encouraging. And
right. It's not everybody's all classes. Together, not like a dog-eat-dog.
Yeah.
You're in high school. It's not like you're battling out for... Mm. Although, in orchestra, you battle out for chairs, so it's like... First chair is pretty amazing, but 12th chair, it really did feel like a battle.
It's a real fight.
So I'm sure in any art form, there's like, some form of battle.
So what you're saying is you play musical chairs and band?
What?
I see what you did there.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's always having your fun. Oh. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't that way in high school by any means, but in college, people were definitely a lot more cutthroat because you did come from, if you're going to a major art college like that, everybody that basically gets into there were, you know, the top dog of their high school, and they were, like, the coolest person ever, and they were so talented. And then you go to a college that is nothing but those people.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to show who you are, and so you'll have the ones that were more like me, that was, like, quiet, and all I did was work. And I felt like my work should really speak for itself. And then you'll have, like, the people that are outspoken and, you know, want to make a name for themselves, and they're perfectly fine with being loud and opinionated, so they would tell you exactly the way they feel about everything. But, yeah, it's a...
You were top dog of your high school.
I wouldn't say that either, but that's, like, the mindset a lot of people have when they go to it. So, especially when you first go in for your freshman year, you see everybody that's just, like, you know, strutting, going into their first, like... elements class, and then they walk out and they're like, what the hell was that?
I gotta go home.
It's so weird. I feel like that's kind of like all college experiences, though. It's just like you realize how many people are trying to do the exact same thing that you're trying to do.
Yeah.
So
you're not that individual anymore.
Nope.
Yeah. I'd imagine. I never went to a regular school.
You're not unique.
No, I always went to art school, so I never had... I only had sports in middle school. I never went to a school that had sports.
Me either.
They always mocked it and had sports t-shirts whenever, like, they'll have, you know, Micah football t-shirts, but there's never a football team. But, so I don't really know what it would be like as, you know, a full academic school.
We don't know what pep rallies are. We never went to a homecoming.
I guess I'm the only one here that really had to deal with that,
Brad.
I usually went to study hall. Instead, there was an alternative to going
to sports,
to going to like the pep rallies and being, you know, rah rah.
So you could choose if you wanted to be rah rah or not. Yeah. You weren't like forced to have to sit through it.
Yeah, I've definitely changed a lot since then. So I'm more sports oriented now. But yeah, back in my high school days, nah.
Is Tyler sitting right next to you?
Yes,
with his long ponytail, yeah, reading about Japanese samurais.
Yeah, he'd have his magic cards. Or,
I love him. He's my boo.
Sweet Tyler. Anyways, going back to the murals, there were a lot of, you know, there were a lot of art references in this one. One of my favorites was Donna presenting her piece, which was the recreation of Leonardo da Vinci's painting, The Last Supper, and figuring out all of the people that were, she just replaced everybody with celebrities. My favorite one, if you look closely, was Jim Gaffigan, who is one of, I think he's the only one that's an actual Indiana native.
Really?
Yeah.
Who else did she have?
That's
she
had
Michael Jackson.
Parks and Research.
Oh, all right.
A little Parks and Research time.
That was your...
Parks and Research.
Dun, 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 dun. The more you know.
Some of the other ones that she added in there was John Mellencamp, Larry Bird, Michael Jackson, David Letterman, and Greg Kinnear.
Baby Jesus, Greg Kinnear! Man, I love me some Greg Kinnear.
Yeah.
Well, who they thought was from ER?
Yeah, they said he had a spot on ER, which is not what I would grab him for. Although ER is a good show, but I would make some other references to... Shout out Greg Kinnear. So we had Donna with her Last Supper.
Jesus Greg Kinnear.
And her Jesus Greg Kinnear.
And then, is that Michael Jackson?
Yes.
That was our favorite Donna moment of the night. The team finally presents their mural, which ends up being a camel, as Mark Brandanowitz points out. And a camel, the title of our episode, is what a horse would be if it was created by a subcommittee. So that's just a little politician humor for you. But basically, so they all present these different murals. We've got Donna with her Baby Jesus Greg Kinnear in The Last Supper. We have Anne's park. Kind of. It looks like a kindergarten's drawing.
My favorite thing about Anne's is that the dog is bigger than the person.
Yeah. So. There's multiple dogs.
Yeah, it's very much to scale.
Yes.
Tom falls in love with abstract art, which I think is adorable that he goes through this transition of, you know, making fun of someone or something and then actually, like, having an emotional reaction to it.
He states that clearly, that this is the first piece of art that he's ever had any emotional attachment to, because it's so complete.
Did you pay attention if he, in the very beginning when he presents his piece, he goes to put it on the stand, and he keeps flipping it because he doesn't know what side is up, which is, a long-running joke about, you know, abstract pieces. But he continues to look at it and look at it and look at it. Was he holding it all the same way? Or did he flip it around? It was just all about the shapes. The shapes, man. The shapes.
It was just all about the shapes.
For the most part, like, throughout the episode, he's holding it one specific way. Okay. But he definitely does try a few different.
Yeah. I think by the end, he's found his way where it makes sense to him. And that's the way he looks at it. No more flipping for him.
It's like Tom discovered art. He discovered that, you know, if you look at something the right way, it can be beautiful.
Yeah.
April's got her trash art where she dumpster dives.
That's the most art school piece ever. Continue.
That was my feelings. Leslie has a photo of the Burning Bread Factory of 1922, which is...
It smelled delicious.
Yes. It smelled like toast. Then we have, last but not least, Jerry, who actually had an amazing piece to enter, but he made the mistake of calling the mural a urinal. Everyone freaked out, especially Tom.
I like how they hesitate to say something, and you were just
let him keep talking.
You were like, did he say urinal? And then all of a sudden, like, he said urinal. And I was like, oh no.
Did he actually say urinal, or did they just make that up?
He did, yeah.
No.
He totally did.
And he tried to slip of the tongue. I don't know if he intended to say it or not, because he just keeps talking. He doesn't correct himself.
Yeah.
So either he thinks that's how you pronounce it, or he was just like, keep going.
Yeah. It could definitely go either way.
Don't let them see you sweat.
And then he gets berated afterwards, pretty much.
I felt so bad for him.
And his mural was amazing, or his muronal, I should say. It was Pawnee City Hall, right? And it was a photo of every single citizen in Pawnee to kind of, like, one of those photos within photos to create one big photo.
Pointillism.
Thank you, you're Micah.
Education.
Yeah, we have a ringer in the house for this episode.
Did you guys notice what Jerry was wearing, though, when he presented his mural?
No.
And I want to say it's because, like, he was feeling so good about it and so proud. He had his Tiger Woods outfit on. He had the red shirt and the black pants.
Oh my gosh, that's a great observation.
I was like, you go, Jerry.
Maybe that's why he was just like, I could say mural if I want to call it a urinal.
Got this,
urinary
guys.
Tract infection, that was my favorite thing.
Even whenever he's like trying to describe what he did, Tom just comes up, he's like, shut up, it's a urinal. He's like, oh,
poor thing. Yeah. His face is just so sad.
Yeah, I actually wrote, oh, poor Jerry.
Which this is like the first real exposure that you have that Jerry is quite the artist. Like,
yes, yeah. That definitely comes back.
It is, yeah.
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 For future Pods and Rec casts.
But just as a little observation that I have, speaking of Leslie's with the burning bread factory, every city has, like, this story of how downtown
got burned down,
and they rebuilt it, and it's how they came up again. So is this some type of conspiracy because of Jacksonville has one, Baltimore has one?
I think it's really a tell to how bad,
was the entire U.S. just on fire at one point in the early 1900s?
I don't think so. I mean, you gotta think, like, firehouses and stuff probably weren't
Maybe
that's why firehouse
was so popular.
It's always it's like always between the 20s and 30s around that time. Yeah. And
maybe people were mad about Prohibition. Yeah. And be like, fuck this, I'm gonna burn this shit with alcohol.
Fuck you, Brad.
That was not aimed at Brad.
It was Brad. I was just an angry citizen at loaves of bread.
It could have been
toast.
My citizen person doesn't like toast. Or they just like burnt toast.
Could have been confused with the New Zealand accent for the name Brett.
Brett? Go fuck yourself, Brett.
So, random side note.
Ooh.
The other day I went to Starbucks and I got coffee and I clearly said my name is Brad. And somebody wrote bread on my cup.
Your name was Brad?
It was B-R-E-D. But they didn't even spell bread right.
Oh my god. Well, that's right if you like bread babies or like bread dogs.
Yeah.
Right? B-R-E-D?
Maybe he's going by like his occupation. Like some people like.
That I said, I'm bread? I'm bread something?
I'm bread.
Which, everybody, if you work at a Starbucks, just look at the card. Just look at the name on the card. It's right there.
That's my
pet peeve. I used to do that all the time when I worked at a hotel. I was like, I know clearly what your name is. It says right here on this big old card you gave me.
But sidebar, do you find it awkward whenever waiters look at your card and they're like, thank you, Timmy? And they hand it back. I'm like, ooh.
I do find that weird. I still get creeped out when people say my name because I've got my name tag on. And I forget that I have my name tag on. It weirds me out when people who don't know me use my name.
You don't know me, give that back.
Whoa. You don't know me.
Well, that's when you use the old debit card trick.
Exactly.
Like, thank you, Steve.
And if you pay with cash, it's going to be, thank you,
George.
Benjamin Franklin, Andrew Hamilton.
That's what you should do every time when they give it back and just like,
Abe Lincoln.
Straighten it up.
Thanks for the emancipation, buddy. Bye.
So, one of the other things that happens is that once they have to go through everybody's pieces, so they all have to vote, And of course they all vote for themselves.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a 1-to-1-to-1-to-1-to-1-to-1.
I was really hoping he was going to do it Survivor style. He pulls it out of like a little carved out piece and he's like, let's do this.
Does anybody else think it's like kind of taboo that if you're voting for something and your thing is in there that you never vote for yourself? Yeah. Like just as a rule, right?
I can't think of a situation where I would have.
I know people who do at you guys' Halloween parties. People vote for themselves all the time. I personally don't, but I see it.
I'm
going to
do a handwriting analysis next time. Mm.
Just as a little secret.
What?
To you.
Yeah.
Sometimes Brad and I fix it.
No, don't say that. People listen to this.
We don't.
We don't. If we fix it.
There's one category where we get to pick, like...
Right.
Yeah. We don't really fix it. It's like if something's... Like,
I'm not in with your collusion deal that you got.
If something's not very readable or if it's just not clear, then we'll be like, this could be this, right? Yeah.
Also fix it in a good sense to where, like, I know last year you guys got voted and you won for something, but you were like, you know, let's give it to someone else. So you gave it to second runner up.
Yeah, we've done that. And there's been ones, like, if multiple people won, like, one year, like, I think it was the year that Tyler was Ron Swanson, a lot of people voted him on, like, everything. I think especially David voted him on everything, even worse.
So he should have won all the awards?
Yes.
Tyler, just close your eyes right now. I mean, ears.
So some people just...
You still got an award. Be happy that you got that.
Most of the time people are drinking. I mean, the entire time people are drinking. So they'll just like be like, oh, Aaron and Brad make best couple. Let's make that. So I think one year we're going to just give it to him if that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Because Brad did win one year. Didn't you? Didn't you and Aaron win?
I think.
And we gave it to Aaron?
So? Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's right. I don't remember what for, but I remember
Me and
that.
Aaron have only been regular one time? Costume, and that was regular time, where he was Jake. Or no, he was Rigby, and I was Mordecai. Sorry, wrong show.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we just kind of have the bodies for it, you know? It worked out really well, so he's my boy. Mm-hmm. Shout out to you, Aaron Peterson.
Well, in the end with the mural, they don't end up winning, which is kind of sad with all their work that they put into their camel.
No.
But Leslie says that no one ended up winning. And
all they do is change the title.
Yeah.
Did you see what was the title?
Something about diversity, which is a step in the right direction for not being offensive.
It's such an offensive mural. I don't think you can really just change the title.
Oh, God, so they kept the mural.
Yeah, they just
changed the title.
Yep.
Oh.
That is not the spirit of Pawnee anymore.
Yikes, never mind. I retract my statements. I'm like, yeah, diversity.
Diversity, an old English ship.
Everybody wins the end. That's what I was thinking at the very end, is that nobody, nothing really is changed, other than they just changed that it's not the spirit of Pawnee. So is it really okay?
I feel like something changed within them.
Yeah, they all
Tom,
they all worked together. Right.
It was a great team building
together.
Effort.
Except for even whenever they decide that there is no clear winner and they decide to put all of their stuff together, they don't even put... I didn't see Jerry's on there.
No, poor Jerry.
Jerry just doesn't get it.
And I honestly think Jerry could have won. Yeah. Now, we don't know the judges or, you know, their feelings, but Jerry could have totally won.
So, did it irritate you when they said, like... When she said she was just going to play it safe?
With Mark's... Well, they...
And have no point of view?
In the episode, they eventually asked Mark, who's not even part of the Parks Department. Side note, neither is Anne.
She working?
They mentioned that...
Never nursing.
Multiple times. Yeah, she doesn't do her job. She's not a good nurse.
Hashtag never nursing.
Hashtag never nursing.
So Ron, or, not Ron, we haven't gotten to him yet.
Almost there.
Almost there. Mm-hmm. So Mark tries to give Leslie what could be considered, you know, a voice of reason, good advice and stuff, like, but that's just if you want to win. And so in the vacation from being team building, as Leslie should have been, you know, she kind of forgot about her team, but then she went back and they canceled it.
I'm proud of her.
Me too.
I mean, even though it was garbage.
garbage.
It was nonsense.
We can all agree on that.
They decided to keep April's phone showing knee surgery.
Phone or iPod Touch?
Maybe an iPod Touch.
Yeah. It could have been an iPod Touch.
Second generation.
Tyler would be able to tell us.
Yeah.
That was actually a Zoom.
April definitely got the grossest award for her art, which was consisting of like dead rats and a normal sized man on a large hamster wheel that was eating meat.
Yes, you will have to give it to her that it was very interactive.
Right.
And maybe they need that for, you know, the fat children going back to, what's his name, the stupid Venezuela politician.
So, do you think Jerry was inspiration for that, though? Because April hates Jerry.
Like, everyone hates Jerry.
So she wanted to give him a new job. So she's making him run the hamster
wheel. That's kind of what I was thinking. Oh, God. He was new on job, the hamster wheel.
Poor Jerry.
Yeah, I think other than Mark makes his super easy, soothing drawing of the park, which I love that Ange is like, what's different from my park? I love that whole argument and them kind of, it was like everyone for themselves and they're all angry that nobody was choosing what they made. Mark didn't really have, I guess he had a little bit of an impact on this episode just because of he's the one that kind of gave, what Mark, irritated me about Mark is that once again she ran back for his help.
Mm-hmm.
And then he presents his idea and he's just like, okay, so this is your way of playing it safe. It will be the winner. It's easy. It's a park. It's soothing. It's just a little old man and some pigeons. Of course, there are pigeons in there.
There were
trail.
Mm-hmm. And Ron loves it.
Yeah, it makes him feel calm. Yeah,
but I don't. It irritated me that she had to go back to him for more help.
Yeah,
I really hate every time she does that. That she just feels that he needs to bail her out and create these solutions. I know that he has a little bit of an edge on it because he is a little bit more of an artist.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why she went to him, but it always irks me a little bit.
Yeah, I'm ready for the day where she believes in herself and in her team. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to run the Mark.
But see, that's the thing. Mark overall was still a good guy in this episode, just because he even saw that, you know, it was definitely eating at Leslie that they weren't going with their original idea and said, hey, I mean, if you need to do that, go ahead and do it.
I don't hate him in this episode. This is one that I can actually stand him in.
Mm-hmm.
Yay, Mark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just kind of vanilla pudding, you know?
Yeah. Old tapioca Mark over here.
Tapioca Mark.
Well, we haven't even talked about the best part of this episode.
Yeah. Now we're going to get real.
Yeah.
We're getting Bunyan real up in here.
Paul Bunyan.
So, Andy's a shoe shiner now. He's got his new job up in City Hall. And Ron comes to visit Andy. Andy lets him skip a couple guys, makes Ron feel special, and starts shoe shining his shoes.
Oh, which Andy's immediate reaction is,
what the man? So, apparently Ron has this, he described it as like another toe.
Right.
It's just a giant bunion on his toe that really hurts him, and he goes to see Andy 3 times in this episode.
In one day
to get his shoe shine because it kind of like massages it,
I guess so, through the shoe.
Ooh.
Who knows?
And Ron definitely has a moment where he's hitting the pinnacle of ecstasy.
The sweet spot. Yeah. The pinnacle of ecstasy.
It's awkward. It's real weird.
It's awkward for sure.
But
I love that it's basically like a one night stand. You know, somebody saw somebody else naked, look with each other. Like even after he does the moan, he's just kind of sitting there like nobody move. Like it's one of those
that
like
really happen.
Well, and Andy tries to just like not see Ron again. I guess he tries to avoid him after that just because it's so awkward for him.
Typical one night stand. Yeah, that's a good comparison.
Oh. There's that girl.
Yeah, so Andy's trying to run away from him in the hallway, and Ron, you know, he wants to... He likes Andy, so he doesn't want to leave anything unfettered or, like, bridges burned.
Mm-hmm. I'd be okay if we never mentioned it again.
Never mention what again?
The moan, Ron, the weird moan you made, that was super weird. Do you not remember that? I talked about it with the lady who went after you for a half an hour. She said she thought it was an animal.
Okay.
Just another typical Andy not getting his own...
His own...
It wasn't thing. A joke, but, like, his own thing, you know, like, let's never talk about it again. And Ron taps his nose as a little secret and says, talk about what? Yeah. Poor Andy. Gotta love him.
I guess he just doesn't get, like, the saying...
Not at all.
At all.
No. So, MVP time? Who are we thinking?
Yeah, my thought was Leslie, because she was trying to get everybody to work as a team, mm-hmm. and, you know, in the very end, after they go through presenting all their ideas, and then they all hate each other, and then they put something together, and she goes to Mark, wants to play it safe, and then going back to, like, no, this is a team thing, after seeing the fire department's one, where they're like, we all put this thing together, and isn't it ridiculous? Because we didn't even talk about, like, the lady with the burger for her head.
The burger for her
head. Oh, my God. But I really think that she pulled through and had them all with the spirit of the Parks Department teamwork, and I really love that. So,
yeah,
my thought.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to give it to Leslie, too.
Yeah.
So it's official. Leslie Knope.
Woohoo! Congrats!
You win queen. Again, you wonderful woman.
We love you, Queen of the Gays.
I think she'll forever be Queen of the Gays.
Yes, forever. Yeah. I'll start with the ratings. I'm going to give this... I enjoyed the team bonding. Not the sad Jerry's. But I'm actually going to... I had 4 out of 5, but I'm kind of changing it as we've talked through the episode and stuff. I'm going to knock it down to a 3.5 out of 5. Hey-hey's!
You're welcome. That's a good one. I love it.
That was very good.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
I also wanted to bring this up. In the final mural, they also have Michael Jackson carrying baby Jesus Greg Kinnear.
Jesus Greg Kinnear.
And it looks like he's carrying him into the burning building of bread. But
they had no idea. I just love that they're all laughing at it, too. Like, they didn't even realize it, and they're just cracking up.
Yes.
Which Leslie saves the day by saying that he's moonwalking out of the bread factory.
Which always reminds me of New Girl, little also hilarious show, and Nick, a character on that. He always moonwalks out of the room to avoid awkward conversation.
I love him. You should really try to watch that show. It's so funny.
Has anybody else here tried to moonwalk, or is it just me?
I definitely can't try it. I can't do it.
I'm pigeon-toed. It's not going to happen.
I think I need better moonwalking shoes.
Yeah. If you do it in your socks, it works a lot better.
Okay.
FYI.
I'll have to try that.
Yeah.
I have wood flooring in my house.
See, that's perfect.
I feel like I'm going to risky business myself into a broken leg or something.
You're like, Tyler, watch this. And then you just crash into the entertainment center. Help, please. Brad, how would you rate it?
I would give this 3 out of 5 murals.
Nice.
I thought it's a funny episode. You know, I think there's really good character development in it. Even from the simple, like, concept of them just trying to develop a mural, I feel like you find a lot out about people in this. But yeah, I mean, it was good, but not great.
He's going to murinate all over it.
I thought it was a pretty good episode. It's not one of my favorites, but there's a lot of really great moments that happens in this one. I gave it a 3 out of 5 Donna's nail art.
Oh, yeah.
Which is something we didn't talk about.
Her little jewels hanging off. Just imagining her in the nail salon like, yes, I want the one that hangs off your finger. Oh, that little golden bucket.
That's going to haunt me.
How do you...
I don't know.
There's like a... Pants? Have you seen, like, there was a reality, like, a contestant, like, show for people doing nail art and hole the punch. Crazy stuff that they do.
Oh, it's, my God.
I mean, they're incredibly talented women, but I can't just be like, yeah, turn this into, like, this one's going to be a mouse, and then there's, like, a cheese and a cat at the end. And they make them, like...
That's a scheme I would want on my nails.
Yeah.
But they, like,
actually...
Have you
played Mousetrap recently, or are you just trying to...
Well, actually, so in, like, part of the fingers, there's, like, the little piece that, like, extends out, and you got to keep them all together, and then, like, the mouse goes across, so that's, like, the nail. I don't know.
Sounds like so much work.
Tom and Jerry?
It would spend forever. Ooh. That's what I was going for, was Tom and Jerry.
Mm.
You got it. You win.
Sherlock.
You said the password. But there was a reality show, this game show for these women to do nail art, and they would be there for hours.
Good
and
Lord.
I can't imagine being one of those customers and be like, thank you. Now I can't do anything for
right.
it until we get this off. Or even taking it off.
I've had to pee for the last 2 hours and I can't even do it now.
Oh my God,
and
can you imagine?
I have to wear skirts all the time with no underwear
you
and have
get
a
shake.
Wipe them.
No. Or get
shake,
a bidet.
Shake. Oh yeah. Maybe they all have bidets. That's the secret.
Fancy nail life's tough.
I gotta get a bidet.
So some of my just last.
For you. It's
really nice. Gross. Kind of works with the urinal. Some of my last thoughts that we didn't talk about was just the, there's a couple of people that were introduced in this episode. I just wanted to point it out really quick. One of them was Kirk Fox, who played Joe. He's one of the people from the sewage department. Mm-hmm. He is a reoccurring role, so we will see him some more. You may recognize him. He was in Reno 911, Forgetting Sarah Marshall. He had a couple episodes in Community, and he was also in Pauly Shore is Dead. And those are just a couple of them that I thought I would highlight. And then also there was Andy Forrest, who plays Kyle, who is also
is that the Shoeshine one?
Yes.
Yes.
Who's also a reoccurring role. He has been, he's a character actor on various things like Scrub, 6 Feet Under, Carnival, Kroll Show, Grey's Anatomy, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and so on. So
he's
he plays
missing.
A lot of, yeah.
Yeah.
But
go.
The reason why I bring that up is that I feel like Kyle is the new Lawrence.
Oh, you're right. It's almost
yeah.
like a weird, like, nemesis thing. Like, he's always like, damn it, Kyle, or like, oh, Kyle.
Keeps coming back.
Keeps coming back.
The other thing that I, we didn't really talk about, and because there's not really a segue into this, Mark likes Arby's, and I like Arby's too, so... I just wanted to throw that out there, because recently I've gotten some heat for enjoying Arby's.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it just seems that every time I try to go there, I get poo-pooed.
Yeah.
Aww.
Ooh, this is being a little passive-aggressive here.
I always like there's an episode... The Simpsons love to make fun of Arby's, especially in the earlier seasons. And there's an episode where the kids get stranded on an island, and then one of them, like, they're running out of food because they have to ration. They just have, like, a cooler full of food. And one of them just goes, I'm so hungry, I could eat at Arby's. And all of them go, wow, she's really hungry. That's my favorite. Anytime I think of Arby's, I think of that right away.
Poor
sorry, Brad.
They have curly fries. They're delicious.
That's the only
curly
thing I like.
Curly fries are
delicious.
Curly fries
are delicious.
They do have, like, a very specific aftertaste after you eat their food. I think it's, like, the oil that they use. But I'm okay with their curly fries.
Yeah,
I'm not mad
see?
At them.
Yeah, you go, Arby's.
I like Arby's sauce, too. It's not terrible.
They have
good.
Horseradish sauce, which is really good.
It's called horsey sauce.
Horsey
yeah.
sauce.
Well, let's go ahead and get into episode 10, then. This episode is called The Hunting Trip, originally airing November 19th of 2009. What happened in this episode is Leslie tries to prove she can hang with the guys, so she invents herself on Ron's... Or she... I'm sorry.
I can edit it.
Yeah. Leslie tries to prove she can hang with the guys, so she invites herself on Ron's annual hunting trip. But things don't go as planned. Meanwhile, April and Andy bond in the office while everyone is away.
It's basically a boys' club part two.
It is. Did that irritate you? What did you think of that?
A little bit. Yeah, I actually, as much as I love Leslie, you know I love you. It she did kind of irritate me in this episode. I found her to be kind of annoying, and maybe not really her as a person itself, but just the idea of a boys club. And she can be so progressive sometimes and like, women empowerment and stuff that I find it weird. She wants to fall back into gender roles and kind of like, it's almost not like she's busting through the boys club to have girls in it. It's like, yeah, like me, like I want to be like a boy, you know? And I don't,
maybe she just feels left out. Like, you know, sometimes.
Could be.
Well, Well, Ron actually pushes her away a lot, you know, while she's trying to prove herself. And she, I mean, I find hunting extremely terrifying.
Right.
And she she's done a lot of research and is really good at what she's doing and is not afraid. And he's just like, yeah, whatever.
Well, let's be honest. It's Leslie Nielsen. I mean, yeah, of course she does her research and she's good at it. I mean, that's her thing.
She doesn't do anything half-assed.
Yeah, well, and her and Ron's personalities are completely stark opposites. Like, they love each other and they get along, but you can definitely see how in the episode, like, he would just be like, back off, woman. Like, back off.
Yeah. So one of Brad and I's favorite thing about, like, apparel for TV shows or any type of, like, movie reference or pop culture reference is things that are subtly a reference to it that only certain people will get. And that makes me really want to find one of those Trail Survey Boys hats. Like, really badly.
Yes. Because I have to go searching.
There are so many ones that Brad wears, and I'm like, nobody's going to get that. But then, like, the end of the night, one person will stop and be like, whoa, cool-ass Rick and Morty shirt. I'm like, who the... That's the most obscure thing ever.
Yeah. Rick and Morty's...
That's a good shirt. It's a good shirt.
It's pretty great.
Good show, great shirt. Everybody wins.
Everybody wins.
So, this episode is one of the few episodes in the show where people seem to like Jerry a little bit.
Yeah. It was like Twilight Zone. Very weird.
It was odd watching that.
Yeah, it made me feel good for him that everybody, except for a moment towards the end when it turns into this who shot Ron story, and they focus on him for a minute, like, and clearly it wasn't him, you know? But other than that, like, he was having the time of his life. Like, even the camera's, like, really talking to him and everything. And
I love that he gets pantsed and, like, it's not a joke. Yeah. It's, like, an initiation that you would have had into the boys' club, and now it's, like, an ongoing, like, fun thing, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, God. When you watch it, like, if you watch it for the first time, you're just like, oh, geez, Jerry got pants. They're going to start making fun of him. That poor thing. He's going to start crying. But he's just like, yeah, I'm the pants king. Or, whatever.
I got pants.
Then somebody else gets pants. It's more funny.
His name is Tom.
Totally deserves it. I love his look that he gives her. He's just like, what the hell?
He's got like little coffee sticks for legs. Yeah. His tidy whities.
Jesus, sorry, come on the show, please. Yeah. We will not pants you.
Unless
you
like your leg hair. Got weird, just move on.
Tom gets pants twice in this episode. Yeah.
I didn't peg Tom for a whitey tighties guy though. Like, I
what'd you think he wore? Like silky boxers or
him as a boxer brief kind of guy.
Yeah, Tom's classy.
Yeah.
Maybe silk boxer briefs.
I was definitely thinking about that. Like some Egyptian cotton ones or something.
Definitely like some type of like logo or name brand on
one
it.
Thing, so. Thread count. Egyptian cotton.
Maybe he just hasn't fully evolved yet. Oh. We may find that later down the road with him and his growing fashion sense.
Tom's
so, just a random thing I just thought about. So Jerry's very, he's in his element and loved in this area, and Tom is not. Tom's the one that screws up, and everybody's kind of like, you know, do you think they flipped the Tom and Jerry aspect of it? And
looking back on it now, that is definitely the case. I mean, Tom's the one who ends up shooting Ron, you know, which you would think normally, you know, would kind of be a Jerry role. But definitely. Tom swallows chew.
He swallows the chew.
Oh, yeah.
That's why they call it chew and not swallow, you know what I mean?
His face, though, like how much time they spend on him, like, feeling sick in that moment just made me laugh so much.
Nope.
Jerry mentions his wife and his three daughters for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Find out that he has a family. He's a family man. Mm-hmm. Makes you feel a little bit better about Jerry, that he doesn't go home and, like, eat Cheez-Its by himself or, you know, well, that he has a home.
So, and slowly throughout, like, the whole show, you realize Jerry's got a pretty sweet life.
He's got a pretty sweet life, yeah.
Yeah.
He's talented, too.
No. I know. He's like the perfect guy.
Uh-huh. He just at work comes off as a little bit of buffoon, and then they make fun of him. And
he's just a tad bit clumsy.
He's the Charlie Brown of The Office.
Oh, poor Jerry. Yeah.
Tom is just such a mess this whole episode, and it's kind of irritating, but it's really, really funny at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he... when he swallows the chew is probably one of my favorite moments. And then even whenever Leslie's talking to the reasons why he would obviously not be a part of this hunting trip is because it's not for boys. It's for men.
It's for men.
It's for men.
Did you guys feel sad for him, though? Like, when they were talking about that, she's like, all the boys get invited on the trip. And he's like, well, or all the men. And mm-hmm. he's like, well, not all of them. Mm-hmm. And then he just looks so sad. And you realize he's not included. And they're... Good trail reason. Survey boys.
Good reason, I guess. He's not a hunter.
Well, so do you guys think that Tom wanted to go on the trip at all? Or do you think he was just, like, okay with it?
I think he would want to go for, like, the camaraderie. He definitely is one, like, Leslie, who wants to feel part of the group.
Hmm. He's more of a glamping trip than, like, a...
He and Donna could glamp the hell out of anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can do it.
Poor Donna. Her car in this episode, man. I mean, forget broken. Ron's head. Yeah. Like, her Mercedes. Yeah. I didn't think we'd come back from that.
I love Donna's whole freaking out. And whenever Leslie ends up, you know, towards the end, she takes the rep for...
shooting Ron.
For shooting Ron mm-hmm. instead of Tom. And for a good reason, what you find at the very end. But whenever Donna finds out that Leslie confesses... That tackle was so well done.
Yeah. Yes. Literally tackles her
to the ground.
Even like in acting, do you think she just literally ran up and tackled her? Or do you think she supposed to be like, it seemed like it was pretty intense. Like,
yeah.
I thought she really actually tackled her.
Yeah.
Might have been a stunt double.
I think it might have been a stunt double because I'm pretty certain Amy Poehler in real life might be pregnant at this point.
Okay.
So it probably was a stunt double, because I know she was pregnant with, like, one of her kids at this time.
Yeah.
Like, getting there.
That's one of my favorite things, too, in TV shows is watching when people get pregnant, how they try and hide it, the kind of outfits they put them in and stuff.
Yeah. Or if they, like, acknowledge it at all.
Yeah.
You know?
Just shoot them from the waist up or the boobs up.
Yeah. The,
Sure you're wearing a sweatshirt.
One of the crazy ones is, in the newest season of Walking Dead, the actress that plays Sasha, Sonequa Martin-Green, she's pregnant during it. It might not be... It's not the newest... It's season 5? Yeah. Season 5, whenever they're all kind of, like, scattered and doing their own thing. She's pregnant.
I didn't even know
this whole time. Yeah, because she's wearing a big old coat the whole time.
Yeah. What's his face's coat?
If you look at her now, she's... Yeah.
Yeah.
If you look at her... Like, immediately after, because I think she had her baby, like, in December.
Yeah.
And then came back, and they started filming again.
Wow.
She was a stick. And she is stunning in real life, because I've got a picture with her. See,
I feel like that's a talent of being able to tell when somebody's pregnant, and the other talent I have is being able to know when a building used to be a Pizza Hut.
What? Very great talent.
Hey, you know, like, it's the hut style. The roof gives it away.
I really know my husband very well, because as soon as he was talking about talents and buildings, I was like, oh, no.
Here we go.
The Pizza Hut thing.
Here we go.
Pull me in the car, and he's like, Pizza Hut. I was like, no.
Well, what's a random talent you guys have? Like, that's my thing.
A random talent?
A random talent.
I would say being able to tell people's body types under their clothes. I find that a lot of people kind of either, like, don't pay attention to it, / don't care, / don't really understand body types. And I find myself, sorry if I creep you out, but I find myself, like, staring at people's bodies a lot and stuff, and I don't know what it is, but
hey,
I can totally tell you what your boobs look like under that. Maybe. Ring-a-ding-ding.
Hey, don't look at her.
Ring-a-ding-ding.
Don't look at her anymore.
And I don't, now that I'm saying this, it sounds so effing creepy.
No.
But I just mean, you know, like, I mean, some people try and hide things with their clothes
you
and stuff.
You can't hide
like,
nothing from Tammy Clark.
Can't hide nothing from these laser eyes.
Tammy.
I'm like fucking Cyclops up in this piece.
Next time we go out, I'm going to be like, that one right there. What's that dude?
If you need a wingman, I can tell you what your girl's got on under her club dress. Her club dress.
Her club dress. But usually going to those the club. Are like
so basically anyone. It's not really that great of a talent, I guess.
No, in other scenarios, you're not club dresses.
The club.
The club.
With my flirt farts.
Club.
One thing that I've noticed recently that my secret talent would be guessing people's height. Because I found there's one of the women that I work with has become obsessed with finding the perfect height of man for her. And so she always brings like a friend of mine that we also work with. And she's like, come over here. How tall are you? And he was just like, I don't know. And I was like, you're probably like 5'10", right? And he was like, ugh. And he looked at his license. He's like, hey, look at that. 5'10". And then I just random, she was like, I don't know how tall I am. And I was like, yeah, you're probably around 5'8". And she was like, I'm 5'8". And I was like, oh, my God. Boom.
She probably kills at carnivals. Like, oh, yeah, guess the height. Boom.
That was one of them.
You would never be given away any teddy bears at a carnival because you would always win.
I always win.
Maybe she doubles as a carny in her past life or something.
I didn't want to tell you that, but I didn't really go to art school.
I'm creeped out now. I can't be a friend anymore.
Just don't look at my body.
Already
she's
done.
Analyzing you right
now.
No,
you can see what's underneath.
I need to wear extra layers next time.
We got Superman over here.
God, I'm a creepy friend, huh?
Uh-oh,
no one
creeps.
Is going to want to be my friend anymore.
Because I creep.
Yeah. All right, I'm all right with that.
All right.
Some pretty good bands have made songs about creeps, okay?
Hey.
Radiohead. TLC.
I'm sure
can't
more.
Name anymore. But I'm all right with it.
Those two.
Or
those
one.
Are good ones, though.
Or
so.
That one. I'm in love with a creeper. Right?
What?
Nope.
No.
Yes.
No.
It's not.
I know. I'm just trying to help her out.
That was the Pac-Man dying noise that he makes.
Was it Ren? what else about the hunting trip?
Not too much. Ron gets shot in the head. He takes scotch like a champ. He literally, like, Brad and I were both like, whoa.
After he did that, I went and made myself a scotch drink.
You did.
I noticed
that immediately.
Apparently.
I would never want to go up against him in a scotch battle.
No, that's got to be, like, top shelf stuff. That man is a champion. He's a man amongst Tom Haverford.
Oh, I want to sing something so bad right now, since you just said that word, but I can't.
Go.
You're
Let's see. One other thing about the hunting trip is whenever they're all trying to figure out the who done it story.
Who done it?
Somehow Jerry starts to be like, somebody's hunting us, and then they start talking about Predator.
Yes.
He can sense feet.
I just wanted to point that out because I thought it was a really good reference. Well, that they're just like, let's just cover ourselves in mud.
And Tom makes a most dangerous game reference because there is a book all about hunting humans, and that's what leads to them with the whole Predator.
Yeah.
Conversation because Donna's like, you mean like Predator?
Which I kind of really love Predator, by the way.
Yeah. I like when he takes the gun and kicks open the door.
No, you're not like the ripping out his spine.
Mine was Tom in Parks and Rec, but the spine is good too.
My bad.
Get to the chopper! Alright, I ain't got time to bleed. Alright, y'all got me going.
Speaking of Tom and Predator, he's totally ready to kill when he busts open that door. He's just like, bam!
I know.
Almost killing the insurance agent over there.
Yeah.
And what does he not have?
A hunting license?
Correct. So we shouldn't be doing that anyway.
Yeah. Man. Tom is a very dangerous man in this episode.
Yeah. That was one
the
thing.
The most dangerous man.
That was one thing that I.
He's read the book.
That was something that made me really uncomfortable in this episode, was how crazy everybody got with guns and comfortable, yeah. Like, for a while. Like, and granted, it's supervised by Mark, and they're shooting, you know, objects, but she's just right. Like, holy crap, like, this is amazing.
This is so
and
fun.
Once again, not working and doing your nurse stuff.
Never nursing. Yeah.
So, I will say in these past two episodes, she kind of annoyed me because she wasn't working. Even though I guess she kind of did her job a little bit by tending to Ron, but
someone's getting on the N train.
Uh-oh.
That hater train. She drank that hater raid.
So the other thing is that they were all super close for hunting. Like, they could see each other.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm
right.
Like, that you're going to shoot somebody.
Yeah, it was bound to happen eventually.
Yeah.
Not just for, like, a comedy thing. It was going to happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Except for Jerry, who's just going to grab himself a beer. And you're drinking and hunting. I know that a lot of people do that, but come on.
Damn it, Jerry.
Safety, people. This is why Leslie confuses me sometimes, where she's such like a, I work for the government and rules and everything. You gotta go through all this stuff. And she does stuff like this, even though she obviously did her homework. But it just, I don't know.
Well,
yeah, she's
guns make me. Guns make me really nervous. So
she also got Anne a hunting license, like, mm-hmm. on her own, so I guess apparently Anne didn't need to be there to do that, or...
Right.
Yeah.
It seems like a government thing you'd need to be there for, or be present for, is to get your hunting license.
But shame on Leslie for not making sure that everybody had a hunting license, because...
True.
Yeah, true.
Tom didn't.
Yeah, how did Tom slip through the cracks?
And, pun intended, it backfired.
Nice.
So while the team is out hunting, we've got the intern and the shoe shiner left to man the halls of City Hall.
Mm-hmm. Goo goo eyes.
Goo goo eyes. I'm like that emoji right now with the heart eyes. Ooh, goo. So they're kind of like, April's totally crushing on Andy. Andy's still basically wrapped up in Anne. All of his thoughts are about Anne and what he can do to get Anne back. And April, you can kind of see her frustration, but she's not like as kind of put off to his Anne comments as you might think she would be.
Oh.
However, she comes up with a pretty interesting way of making Anne jealous. Hickeys?
Yeah.
I counted at least six on Andy's neck.
I love how he pulls back his collar and he's just like stands up straight, like, you gotta see this. Because once again, she's not at fucking work.
Right.
Yeah. And she's just passing through the hallway. I know you're a major character and whatever, but that is really unlikely because nurses work a lot.
True.
Why are you? But, like, you gotta think, don't they have like 10 hour shifts and they have like a week off?
We see her at every time of day.
That is true.
I mean, none of us are nurses, so we would definitely need to get some feedback, which maybe we'll do some parks and research at Dr. Nurse.
I choose to believe that Anne still works at that hospital.
I'm going to go to a hospital with a survey and talk to them about hashtag never nursing. One of my favorite parts of Andy and April's fun at City Hall was the spit take, because I personally have always wanted to do a spit take, but there's no real good place to do it, I guess, unless you're outside.
I feel like Andy was me in real life of like trying to come up with a spit take.
Yeah.
He's talking about nothing.
I live in Pawnee. Nope. But it looked really fun.
I like them playing Marco Polo throughout the office, and Andy's just running into everything and knocking stuff off the table. And
I feel like they're gonna come back from their hunting trip, and the office is just gonna be in complete disarray, like chairs everywhere, paintings off the wall, craziness.
No.
So was April only in the office because of she had to call in and give this thing numbers?
Like, I guess so, yeah.
She never actually does it, right? Like, she never gets through?
No, she's constantly on hold.
We don't see it.
Yeah, you don't see it.
We don't really see
right.
it.
Right.
That's one of those little irritating details. It's like, oh, God, it's not done. I don't get to see some type of
resolution
there.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, it stings a little bit, but you can get past it.
I was going to say, I choose to believe that she just did her job as a good, hardworking employee, and They just didn't want you to see her giving numbers to somebody because that would be boring.
Right. Well, April, you know, she was on hold for an hour and finally had to go pee. So what starts the April Andy thing is gets Andy into the room to be on hold for her while she goes to the bathroom. And Andy pretty much does the best thing ever to make up for his boredom with being on hold.
Hey, check this out. I am on hold with the State Parks Department. I am on hold, so suck on my butt.
Yes.
Yeah.
So suck on my butt.
Andy does give us the best sound bites. We have so many of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah.
Can't get enough.
We could fill an entire podcast with just Andy soundbites.
We could. I'm going to try to get my musician brother to remix us a song of soundbites.
Hey, musician brother.
Parks and DJing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Parks and music? Pods and music?
Pods and music. Pods and DJ. DJ pods.
DJ pods.
So, and at this point,
DJ and Rick.
At this point, too, when he's on hold, they're on hold for like an hour.
Yeah. I mean, she was already on hold for an hour when she went to the bathroom. So imagine all the time after.
I would totally just make up a random song to this.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I'd do.
Mm-hmm. I love that they're playing All Out of Love, though.
Mm-hmm.
What an interesting song for the Indiana hold music.
Hmm.
I'd love to hear any of the outtakes of that, of him. If that was their first idea of a song, right, or if there were other ones.
Yeah.
I would love to see if there was something about that.
That would be good. We haven't decided on an MVP, but I guess we should go over final thought.
One plot point that we didn't really, or well, not a plot point, but a thing that happened in this episode, and that is you get to see the aftermath of Ron after he got shot in the head.
Oh, God, you're right.
Who walks into the office, you know, this is like their next day of work, whatever. And from the front, he looks just like normal Ron.
Perfect Ron.
And then he turns around, and he has this huge patch of hair just shaved out of his head with little bullet holes in them. Which, how did Ron not die? I feel like people die when they get shot in the head, right?
I really don't know. I mean, yeah, because I thought at first when you watched the episode, you think he might have just gotten, like, his ear was kind of, like, mm-hmm. shot a little bit or whatever.
No, he got shot like straight in the back of
like,
the head.
Literally the shotgun, you know, whatever it is in a shotgun that, like, surrounds the actual bullet. I don't know what they're called, but they're like the little buckshot.
Yeah,
maybe.
It's a buckshot because it spreads.
It's literally in the back of his head.
Yeah. Don't good to see you alive, Ron.
It looks like an adolescent's face when he tries to shave, like for the first time. It's just like blood spots everywhere.
I would love to see him have little pieces of paper.
Yeah, I think that was definitely the best part about the very end of just getting that, actually being able to see it, because you don't get to see it the entire time.
Right.
And she's just like, oh, it's not so bad, it's not so bad. But he has obvious stitches in the back of his head, so.
And it makes you wonder why he's laying on his back, like with his head on a pillow now, like when you think back to the episode.
Oh, yeah, especially whenever they're doing, he takes too many pills and he's drinking it with straight scotch.
Yeah.
And they're like trying to wrestle him to get him to throw up. She's like shaking his shoulders and like hitting him against the bed. Granted, it's like against padded, you know, like pillows, but even then, like, you know, that didn't feel too good.
No, that would hurt. Like, bowels.
Ron was pretty pissed about getting shot in the back of the head.
He was. He was very angry.
Yeah.
And he was, I mean, when he thought Leslie was doing it, he was literally making her life a living hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the end, when he finds out that she didn't do it,
he was very sweet.
Yeah, he basically says, hey, that's a good dude thing to do.
Right.
Yeah, so
made her feel kind of like, boys club.
Part of the boys club. It all, that's what it all comes back to, is being part of the boys club.
It's like a soul cycle in here.
I did have something to add to the guest stars of this episode.
Preach it, sister.
We had Jay Johnston, who played the Ranger. You may also recognize him from, he had a character in Arrested Development. He was Officer Taylor. He was a recurring role on there. He was a lot of them. He's also the voice actor, this is the most interesting one to me, of Jimmy Pesto from Bob's Burgers.
No.
Oh.
So yeah. He's like, hey guys. Wait, no, that's the dad. Oh, shit. Yeah. Okay. Oh, Jimmy Pest is the dad. Okay, mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
He's, like, super Italian.
Yeah, he's the restaurant
his
owner.
Last yeah. Pesto. His last name is Pesto.
Do you think he, like, planned on being an Italian restaurant owner, or was he like, my name is Pesto, I have to be this? We can get to that.
He's also the voice actor of... he played a Cold Stone Creamery employee in a Rick and Morty episode, A Wrinkle in Time.
Oh. Did he say, like it, love it, gotta have it?
I'd have to go back and watch that episode because I don't remember.
Shout out to Aziz Ansari. That was actually a bit from his stand-up that he does.
Yeah.
Very nice. Mm.
Good job.
So, ties right back in. Full circle, everybody.
You get some Chris Hardwick at Midnight Points.
Yes!
What do I win?
Nothing. Mm, you win the internet!
Yes.
Yay!
He was also in Men in Black 2, Anchorman, and Tenacious D, Pick of Destiny.
Alright.
The only other one I want to point out was Travis, I think it's Gooba.
Gooba.
G-U-B-A. How would you pronounce that?
I would say Gooba. Yeah, because it's like Cuba.
Yeah.
Or Cuba. You can say...
Na-na-na-na-na-na.
Gooba!
Travis played the roadside mechanic, the one who helped Donna. You just see him for a split second, but he was in an episode of Always Sunny in Philadelphia. He played Bob from a 2015 episode, The Gang Misses the Boat. Mm. So that was an episode from last year. And then he was also one of the paparazzis from The Dark Knight Rises.
Okay.
So that's my little bit of a... Who did we see in this episode?
Who done it?
That was a clear who done it. So, did you have any last thoughts on this?
I did not. I just have to say that I miss Kyle from the Shoeshine Stand. He wasn't in this episode, and I miss him a little bit.
We'll get plenty more Kyle.
All right.
Kyle comes back, guys.
I'm not going to cry then.
So on a scale of 1 to Chris Brown, how do you rate this episode? Or just whatever you want to say.
Do I need, do I even come up with anything?
No, I just wanted to say that.
I mean, I'm going to say this is definitely 4 out of 5 Pants Kings for me.
Ooh, Pants King. Damn.
This is just a really fun episode. I think it's really good. I love how awkward Tom is in this whole thing. Mm-hmm. It's on the better side of things for me. Parks and Rec Spectrum.
Alright.
Pants King!
Followed by Brad putting his hands up in the air.
Yep.
Because he's the king.
Because I'm Pants King, guys.
I'm going to go with... I enjoyed this episode as well. Aside from Leslie just wanting to be in that Eternal Boys Club. 4 out of 5... Andy piggybacks. Which we didn't mention, but Andy likes to give piggybacks.
I gave it a 3.75 out of 5 Donna screaming about her car.
You literally think
every
she's
time.
Shot, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some other noticeable or notable ratings could have been hickeys.
Yep.
Ooh.
Or
5 out of 6 hickeys. Do we officially agree that it's 6?
Oh. My original one was spit takes.
Spit takes, yep.
Yep.
Could be spit takes. Could be chew swallows.
Chew swallows.
And there's probably much more.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Whiskey glasses.
Yes.
Survey hats.
Scotch gulps.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and one other last little thing that I wrote is that Leslie looks adorable in her orange overalls.
She does.
That are apparently attached to her bra.
To her bra, that's correct. She's the ultimate pants king. She will never be pants.
Yeah, I thought that's why for sure she chose overalls so that she wouldn't get pants. I mean, she didn't know that before going into it, but maybe it was just so did she always come prepared to not be pantsed or
always.
I mean, who knows?
I imagine her in granny pants.
Tom needs to get that memo because he gets pants twice in this episode.
Twice.
So. One thing we didn't do, we just went right into ratings. Who's our MVP?
We haven't decided this yet.
No.
It's an on-air decision.
Oh my god.
Womp-a-womp-womp.
I think our MVP is Donna's Mercedes, honestly.
It went through so much.
Took one for the team.
Imagine, if it didn't, you know, take the brunt of the shotgun, what could have happened to Ron? He could be dead.
Ron could be dead, but it seems like the brunt of the shotgun was in the back of Ron's head, just because there's like five or six little pellet marks or whatever. So, again, not sure how you're alive, Ron Lazarus, but...
my that was a joke, you know, my real rating. I'm actually going to give it to Anne. I know, shocker, amazing.
Ooh, stay to your case.
Anne the Never Nurser. My case is that she, you know, she's a nurse, whatever, but she really did help Ron and look out for him when he got shot. She also helped Leslie cover Tom's ass. You know, she kind of, I believe that she brought it to Leslie's attention that Tom didn't have a hunting license because they kind of had that secret off-camera conversation. And then Leslie decides to cover for Tom. And, you know, she made the best out of the trip. She was originally not a fan of hunting or anything to do with that, which I totally respect those views. But, you know, she was on the trip, and she made the best of it, and she ended up enjoying herself. Thanks, Anne.
You did.
What do you say?
I mean, I think that my number one person would have to be Leslie, just for, you know, manning up and, you know, taking the hit for Tom, even though, you know, she's kind of focused on being this boys club scenario and doesn't want to come off as incompetent, I guess, you know, because that definitely would have knocked her down a couple pegs, especially in Ron's eyes, because he's the one who got shot. But, and on top of that, she sits there and takes Ron's just kind of just poking fun at her, like throughout. You know, she gets the first quail, I think, even in the episode. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you go, Leslie. You show them.
Just for the sake of being different.
So we've got an Anne and we've got a Leslie.
I'm going to say Andy.
Whoa!
Because he's giving people piggyback rides in the very beginning. And he's like, he's doing all these favors for everybody, even though it was such a minor side story for the main event, obviously being Ron being shot in the head. Andy is such a likable guy. Everybody loves him. And I love him, even though, you know, he doesn't really have a major impact. He's there for April to amuse her in this time of need of being bored to death. Because I know what that could be like, of being at work and like, I can't do anything but wait. Right. So I'm going to give it up for Andy.
I did not see that coming.
Didn't. No.
Does this mean we have to do our game of rock, paper, scissors?
Oh, I'm so ready.
No. You're like, that I didn't say paper, rock, scissors.
Paper, rock,
which apparently,
scissors.
Really quick, people up north call it paper, rock, scissors. And they think we're strange for calling it rock, paper, scissors.
They are wrong.
That could just be one northerner
like
I met.
People like super, super north, like Canada? Or are you talking about like...
Scissors, rock, paper?
This was
like,
a
be
New Yorker
different?
That I was talking to. So maybe like a high up New Englander. Let's do it.
Yeah.
It's a battle to the death. One,
rock,
one,
paper,
two.
Scissors, shoot. Oh, we all have scissors. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Rocks. What's gonna happen next?
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Damn!
Oh! Oh! Instant
I
win. That was one of the more intense ones. That was like us three times.
That was very intense.
I'm a little perspired.
Woo! I need to get some fresh ice water after that one.
Yeah,
maybe some deodorant.
I think I need a nice cold shower.
I'd like a lavender bath. Well, I always feel bad when I win, like, even though it's well-deserved.
You've won a lot.
I have.
I don't think I've ever won.
The only time I've not won was when I wasn't even in the paper, rock, scissors, so there you go. I do feel bad when I win for some reason. I don't know.
And you
I'm
should.
Like, well, but you go, Anne. That'll probably be the only time I ever say this.
Yeah.
Sidebar. I just thought, I was like, what could we call it instead? And I was like, RPS? No, that sounds like some type of STD.
like a rocket or something.
You're confusing me with your acronyms.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, I feel like, Tammy, I feel like you still kind of lose in this scenario because you voted for somebody that you hate.
Ooh, interesting. Interesting.
So.
And I'm going away.
Pew. Aww.
And you are? And you're going?
Next week, Mark Brandanowicz.
Oh, no.
No, Dennis, no.
Damn it, Gil. Get it together.
Mark Brandanowicz.
Is one do it once.
He could be a sports newscaster if he wanted to.
Totally. I'd totally watch him do anything, or listen to him do anything.
So, Stephanie, what you watching?
I haven't been doing a lot of watching TV lately. I've been reading a lot more. Actually started reading one of Mindy Kaling's books,
ooh,
which is pretty interesting. And she talks, actually, in the most recent chapter that I read, she was talking about her and Amy Poehler, because they apparently she did, like, a small little, like, internship type of role in SNL, mm-hmm, as one of the writers. And she said the way that she writes is really interesting, because she's very casual and loose and easygoing as her writing. So she's very honest with everything. And yeah, she talked about that she had this one sketch. It was like Bill Hader as a cat. And
I would watch that.
Yeah, yeah, I would totally watch that. But she said when she pitched it, like as she's writing it, she's like, this is comedy gold. And they're going to go in praising me and think this is the most funny thing they've ever read. And when she presented it, it bombed. Nobody laughed.
Oh, jeez.
And so she said after being there for a week, she wanted to just leave and go back home, because she was living in LA at that time and it was in New York. And she had this really sweet story of Amy Poehler, you know, coming into her office that was a very small little, like, dorm room, like, office that she shared with Kristen Wiig, who apparently was never there because she was always off doing the millions of things that she does. And she said Amy Poehler came up and was talking to her about, you know, are you going to go to this? The writers are all getting together. Are you going to go? And she's, like, playing it off, like, oh, sure, of course. And Amy actually asked her to, like, walk with her, you know, and go.
That's
and
so sweet.
Said she was, you know, kind of, it was that moment that was a turning point for her of just, you know, that she is the way that she is. And
yeah,
I thought that was a very sweet story. So I've been reading that book and just finished a series, or I have one more volume to finish of a series called Nail Biters, which is a very chilling one. I think we talked about it last time.
We did, yeah.
But that's about it. I mostly did a lot of working, boring this week. Nothing really new. I do want to start watching Fargo this week. That's one of my goals.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna talk to you about it. Yeah. So that's about it. What are you watching?
I finished Making a Murderer. And thoroughly frustrated. That's all I'm going to say about that. And mostly just been catching up on New Girl, if you can't tell from my several references over this podcast to it. And guess who is in it? Oscar and Angela from The Office. And Oscar's role, well, I mean, his name in The Office is Oscar, the Latino accountant. And, but in New Girl, they go on a cruise, and he is kind of like the, when they're having like their big meeting before the cruise takes off, they're all in their life jackets. He is the safety coordinator, I guess. And he is just absolutely hilarious. Like he's nothing like Oscar. It's just hilarious. Angela from The Office plays a teacher at Jess's school. And, it's pretty great. And it's nice to see that. It was funny because it was like within the span of two episodes, two Office characters came on, and I'm excited to see more. Brad, what are you watching?
Well, right now, lately I haven't really been watching anything per se, but I found myself playing. We've had a couple game nights with, you know, random friends of ours. And one of the games that we have played a lot more often nowadays is called One Night Ultimate Werewolf. And it's really, really fun. It's one where you kind of have to figure out whose role somebody is, but you don't know, you know, what everybody else is doing. They all have different goals and stuff. So we've done that a couple times now, and every time it's frustrating, but it's really fun. To try to figure out and go through, like, oh, I heard a noise over here for somebody moved. They were this guy, and you kind of pick each other.
You guys are really into horror games lately, and yeah. I kind of love it.
Horror games and, like, reading horror. Like, graphic novels.
Or podcast. Yeah. If you ever heard of Straight Chillin'.
We've been talking about that one. Yeah.
Another shameless plug.
I mean, have you ever played Werewolf?
I have not.
It's a lot of fun. It's actually, you can. There's a lot of different characters that you can add into it, and they all have different motives of, cool. you know, what to do. And it's completely, like, you can just download a phone app, so you don't have to have a narrator. The phone just does it for you. And so you lay all these characters out, and everybody knows who they originally were. And then you flip them over upside down. Only that individual person knows who they were. And then you all close your eyes, and they're like, okay, werewolves, wake up. Okay, the insomniac wakes up. Okay, troublemaker. And all of them have something that they do. And then you have to figure out who the werewolf is.
Interesting.
And at the end...
It's very fast-paced.
You may not be the same thing as you were originally. Because mm-hmm. people swap like cards and mm-hmm. stuff throughout the game. So...
To me, you have to have pretty trustworthy friends, right? Mm-hmm. That no one will peek.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my new thing.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Please email us at podsandrec@gmail.com. That's PODSANDREC. @gmail.com. We'd love to hear your questions, comments, anything you'd like to send us, topics you want to address on the episodes. It can even be about past episodes that we've already covered. We'd love to hear your questions. You could also follow us on Instagram at podsandrec. Please subscribe on iTunes. Give us a good rating. You. And we said that we'll do something for it. Like, you know,
we'll give you a shout out or a hug if we see you in person. I like the shout out idea. But my dream is to have a long list of people and I can play like some glorious music over it. And Stephanie and I will be like, thank you. Thank you very much.
I want to say thank you.
Was that Alanis Morissette? Thank you, India.
There's a lot more.
Thank you. I mean, we could totally do that.
I'm not as angry as her, but. Aww. I do love her.
She's angsty.
There's a lot more thank you songs than there are creep songs.
I'm still a creep.
Well, that's a positive thing, though.
You brought that back.
You're not a creep. We love you. You're my creep, though.
Why are you looking at us like that?
My heart is pudding.
Is it chocolate?
Vanilla?
Is it chocolate or poop?
Banana.
Man.
Strawberry is my favorite.
Alright guys, sorry. We can do this all night. Thanks for listening. You guys have a great week and we will see you again soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye.